If you are sitting at home next to your radio, you're hearing the music faster than you are if you're in the hall.
Listening for the secret, searching for the sound. This is the Sound Podcast with Ira Haberman.
Before we get to today's show, I wanted to tell you all about the new SoundStream app. It is the new home for all things sound podcast, and now you're able to listen to the perfect blend of music you'd expect from us 24/7. Jam bands and more, much more. New episodes of the podcast arrive at least 3 times a week, and now you can listen to your favorite artists and bands all the time in a perfect music stream. Just hit the play button and away you go. You'll be boogieing in no time. You can make requests, offer shoutouts, and even let us know when your birthday is, all from the SoundStream app. Get the app at thesoundstream.com or in the Apple or Google Play Store. The show starts now.
Now
You've been listening to Right Here, Right Now from Iration, featuring Eric Rahmani of Revolution and Stick Figure. The track is off of Iration's forthcoming record, Coastin', due out July 10th. The world could probably use a lot more positive energy in it right now, so there's probably no better time for a new album from Iration, which typically exudes good vibes and good feelings. Such is certainly the case with Coastin', and though it's a little more introspective and collaborative than their past six albums, make no mistake about it, this album will uplift you with its rock reggae sound. Aside from Eric Rahmani of Revolution and Stick Figure, the album also boasts guest spots from Common Kings and Ellie Mack. We caught up with Micah Pouchel to talk about the record, and our conversation started when I asked what made making this record, their seventh in 15 years, so special.
Well, I think what made this album and the recording process of this slightly different was just how collaborative we were as a group writing. Previous, in the early stages, a lot of it was kind of on the singers to write the songs, just because, you know, we were the ones writing the lyrics that we wanted to sing, and it was Kai and I at that time. So it was a lot of the onus of the songwriting was on us, just because when we started writing songs, we were the ones that generally wrote the most. So it just kind of went that way. And the other guys would occasionally, you know, fill in things, or they would write all their musical parts, but as far as the lyrical writing and the kind of starting of the songs would go, it started with us. But now, you know, as it's moved along, our careers moved along. We have Micah Brown in the band, who's a songwriter in his own, you know, in his own career, has a solo career. And we started working with David Menzor, a producer. He's become a co-writer as well. So it's really, we've really made it a point to kind of involve the rest of the band as far as in those processes, not just the musical processes, but also the lyrical. So yeah, we did a lot of sessions on this album where we all worked together in a room and just started from point A, came up with the music, and then worked it all the way through, you know, top line into the whole process. And yeah.
So it must have been a revelation, sort of, to be able to include everybody. I mean, it's sort of a rebirth for you guys to include everybody in this record. And even though you're seven records in, which seems like a lot, this is a new way of doing things, and it must be like totally psyched to do things this way, right?
It was, and it wasn't totally new. I mean, they've been part of sessions before, but it's just, this one, we really made it a point to really try and do more of it, and more than, you know, three or four songs or five songs. You know, we really wanted to do, you know, have them have a part in almost every song. And so it was just a more collaborative effort in general. And I think that really it got getting everyone more involved in every aspect of the songwriting process, I think gives everyone a little bit more skin in the game, if you will, just as far as this pushing the songs through the entire process. You know, it just makes them want to, I think it just makes everyone want to do better and do the best that they can with every single song. Every single song has got something that they've contributed.
Totally. It's a 13 song collection. Were there many songs left on the cutting room floor, or did you sort of whittle it down to 13 before you went into the studio?
Yeah, we left a few behind, but in standard Iration fashion, we generally hate doing that. Over the years, we haven't done a whole lot of cutting out of the process, just because we spend so much time on the songs, getting them to the point where they're recorded and recording them. It's always hard to kind of let them go. And right. I think we've been pretty good at recognizing if a song is not there kind of earlier in the process, so the point where we're like, this is not quite a developed enough idea, maybe we should just leave it here, come back to it later. We ended up doing that with a few songs on this record. I think there may be three, four, five or something like that. Just kind of got left in the process midway because they just weren't, we got towards the deadline and we were like, you know, we just need to focus on the songs that we want. We were kind of shooting for like 10 to 12 songs, and then we ended up with 13, just because we felt like we had 13 strong songs. So
it's great from top to bottom. I mean, it's no filler. Every song is really great. And I guess that absolutely happens when you know what you're doing. David Manzoor's been on production with you guys in the past, so working out the sound of the band or things that he wanted to do in the studio probably wasn't anything new for you guys, but does he bring new devices and new ways to sort of push you along with every chance you get to work with him?
I think so. I think the first time we worked with him on Hot Enough, we were very new. I had written 4 or 5 songs before we got together, and he kind of has a process of his own where, you know, when we're in the studio, he's a musician, really talented musician as well, keyboard player, so piano, you know, classically trained pianist. And so he's like there and he's listening to the song that we have. And then he's kind of, as we're going, he's adding his little bells and whistles onto it, you know, just little fills, drum things, you know, piano riffs and sounds. And so he kind of, the first time we did it, we were all just like, whoa, wait, like, what's he doing? You know, like, this is kind of weird because we've never done that before.
Right.
And we weren't used to having somebody else putting stuff onto the songs. And we were kind of like, took us a little bit of the process to kind of get used to that. And then when we worked with him again, we really ended up really liking it, obviously. And so the next album, the self-titled album, we started writing together, and that became this thing where he musically, if I had an idea or he had an idea, I would just give him some chords or give him a top line melody that I had or an idea. And then he could really help you flesh it out to the point where we could have a presentable demo. And I think that's, for me, was the hardest thing, is just as a guitar player, sometimes I hear things that don't necessarily sound like they're, you know, they don't start on acoustic or electric guitar. Right. And I want to hear them with piano, or I want to hear them with other sounds. And so he can kind of help me do that.
So does that mean it's like a double demo process, like demos that you do on your own, then demos you do with David, and then demos that the whole band kind of works from?
In the beginning, yes. And then now it's like Dave and I pretty much always write together. I mean, for the most part, if I'm going to write, I'm going to go down to his studio in LA and we're going to write. And then there's no wasted step, basically. I'll still write on my own, but just mostly coming up with a top line or some chords or something like that. And then I'll just bring it to him and then we'll start fleshing it out. And that way we can have, at the end of that process, we have at least like a verse and a chorus and a beat that the rest of the guys can hear. And then it kind of cuts a chunk out of the writing process that makes it a little bit simpler and go faster.
The world needs more Iration music, because you guys write a lot of personal lyrics, but you really try to push positivity and good vibes and good feelings into the world. And you know, at a time like this, where that's not happening necessarily, do you think it's your, without being too socio-political, obviously there are things that you say and there are things that you discuss, and and we'll get to Right Here, Right Now and move forward in a bit. But do you think that now, you know, amongst COVID and amongst Black Lives Matter and amongst all the craziness that's happening with the president, your music really needs to be heard, and the thoughts that you guys have as a band really, really needs to be heard?
Yeah, I think, I mean, it started with the album previous, our self-titled album, which basically the writing process started right in the middle of the election cycle. And so for me, just seeing the shift in the way that the media, you know, how we treat the media, you know, the way that the cycle went, and it started to become very angry, you know, back and forth. And a lot of the songs from that album were kind of generated from that feeling of like me, the anxiety that I was getting and the anger and the frustration that I was seeing. So a lot of, I mean, that album has a lot of this on it, It was just such a crazy time. And that was where I was getting, personally, the songs I was writing, I was getting so much of the, you know, inspiration from, was just that kind of trying to sublimate a lot of that anger that I was feeling and frustration. And so this album was more like, okay, we've gotten over the hill a little bit with it, but I'm still, we're trying to give you something that's more of a tonic as opposed to something that's more of like fuel to get you going. It's like, this is something that's like, okay, you know, we've been dealing with this for 4 years. We understand what's happening here. Like, if you're a reasonably intelligent person that can, you know, look at a situation and understand factually what's happening, understand what the situation is, you know, this is something for you to have that can make you maybe, you know, bring your blood pressure down a little bit and you know, help you relax and help you kind of be at ease with the way that the world is moving.
Right Here, Right Now was the first single from the record. It features friends of yours, obviously, Eric Rachmani and Stick Figure. Yeah. You enjoy working with, like, the collaboration. I know there's other collaborations on this record, Common Kings and Ellie Mac. Is that something that you really enjoy? I mean, you do it on stage all the time, and you at all these festivals, it's kind of like a hodgepodge. You do your own sets, and everybody hangs out with everybody else in their sets. But is that something that you really want to do on your records, like bring your friends in?
I think we didn't do it a lot in the earlier stages of our career, and it's something that, I don't know why, I just think we kind of neglected it a little bit, and as we've gotten further along in the career, I think that now we really enjoy it. I think that it helps lift songs to different places that maybe if it were just us, they would maybe fly a little flatter, a little lower. And it's like a song like Guava Lane originally was just myself singing both verses, and it was kind of an interesting. It's just a song about, you know, growing up and kind of nostalgia and stuff like that. And, you know, when we brought a female vocal onto it,
yeah,
you know, it gives it a different perspective. It totally shifts the balance of the song, and her voice is so cool. It just, like, there's so many elements that are added when you do that on a song. When, like, the song we did with Junior King from Common Kings, If You Only Knew, that song was a song that I kind of wrote the hook to and wrote a lot of the song, and the chorus is such a R&B kind of thing. And I was like,
yeah,
man, it would be really cool to get someone that is like a legit R&B singer to like sing that hook. And, he was obviously kind enough to do it. We were out in the studio in LA and he blew our minds. Like, he's probably one of the most talented vocalists I've ever worked with personally. So that was cool. I mean, and then obviously Right Here, Right Now, that's a song that the genre of the reggae genre and the kind of the modern reggae genre where we're, you know, of all these bands from California and from the West Coast and stuff. Mm-hmm. Those are, you know, two of the biggest artists, you know, Revolution, Stick Figure that are happening right now. And so it just made sense for us to all kind of come together, combine and do a song, an original song. We've done it together on remixes and stuff, but this is we figured it would be big, and I think it's showing that people were happy with it.
Do you know going in that you're going to include them, or do you leave space, or do you say, oh, you know, these guys are going to join us, so we got to create space? Like, I'm curious about that process.
Yeah, that song we did know. I think early stages, we said, you know, this is a kind of more of a traditional, has a traditional roots reggae feel to it. The last album, we had a song called Danger that had Jay Book and Noah from Tyrone's Jacket on it. That we, from the earlier processes of that song, we kind of knew that we wanted to have guests on it and collaborations. And this song was the same thing. From the beginning, we kind of came up with a hook. We came up with our hook and our verse. And then we were like, should we write more verses to this? Or this makes sense to have, you know, people on, bring some friends on. So I was like, you know, Stick Figure and the Revolution would be awesome. You know, that would just be like, let's just get them. I know they're friends of ours. I know they'll do it. So I texted them both, sent them. We just cut the whole song. So we were like, let's just cut it, get it all so it sounds good. And it's, you know, we have the whole song is sussed out, you know, structurally, all that stuff. And then we sent them kind of a almost finished project with the spaces and the verses for them to kind of cut and write. And when I just said, listen, write whatever you want, like, you know, we want you to write, we want you to come up with something different than what we come up with. And like, that's the whole point. Like, don't let us, we don't want to give you too many directions. Just, you know, do your thing. We trust you guys. And they did it. And
so Dope.
Came back. Yeah. And they all came with different things, and that was awesome. And it's funny because actually when we initially had it, we wanted Eric to be the third on the third verse and Scott on the second verse. And they each cut their verses on the opposite verses because they were like, just felt more comfortable on those verses. So we're like,
yeah,
all right, let's just leave them there. You know, they work. So
whose idea was it to do the video for the song, you know, showing frontline workers and first responders and everybody who's really done a lot? You know, I don't think people understand that you know, they're doing a lot for us right now. Whose idea was it to sort of pay tribute to those people?
I think it actually was one of our managers. He's this guy, Xavier Ramirez, and he kind of does a lot of our social media, you know, program and all that stuff. But we initially, the idea of the video was to be kind of about us. It's like a quarantine video, you know, and that was kind of that. And then he's like, well, why don't we include, you know, these essential workers, and, you know, and he kind of sussed it, and then he sussed it out from there. And we were like, that's an awesome idea. Like, that's better than the idea that we had. Like, so, you know, that, again, another collaboration, you know, the collaborative idea. I think that's been a theme with us in this process, is that we're really opening up the creative process to, you know, our manager, our management, and our team that we have. You know, they've built a little bit of a team over there. So, you know, one of the other guys that works with the management, he does all the digital stuff. He designed some of our album covers. He did the video. So yeah, we kept it all kind of in-house with that, and it worked out really well.
Move Forward is a song about growing up. You share the lead vocal in this one. It's about overcoming struggles in life and coming out on the other side. Timely note, right? Timely given what's going on, and you didn't write it knowing any of this stuff. The bad yeah. stuff was gonna happen. What was the inspiration for writing it, and are you proud of it that, you know, you've released it now in a time where people are thinking about how do we move forward from all this craziness?
Yeah, I mean, we wrote all this stuff pre-COVID, obviously, and it's weird how I was just noting how it's strange how a lot of these songs just fit into the moment now, and they really are even more meaningful now than they would have been if there was no, you know, coronavirus pandemic going on right now. And I don't know if that's just time or, you know, some sort of like universe thing happening there, but
it's,
I mean, even with Right Here Right Now, I mean, they just seem to come at the right time for people. And I think it's a song. Yeah. It's a song about just overcoming it. A lot of the themes of this record are just about being okay in the present and really enjoying what you have surrounding you and your surrounds and the things that are the simple things in life. And I think it's really no better time to have that message than right now. I think, you know, and with everybody kind of, you know, for the most part stuck in their homes, quarantining and being forced to kind of examine their lives, you know.
You guys should be on the road. This is your busy time of year. And by say busy time of year, probably from May till late August, you guys are gigging and playing festivals and doing solo dates and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. Solo dates, like as a band, not solo dates individually. But you've decided to fill your time with something else that's really cool. A little bit of competition for the Sound Podcast, but that's okay. With the Uplifter Chats, how did the idea come about that you guys were going to hang and just keep your audience company and work through some of the, you know, the current events and things going on? How did you guys come up with the idea to do the Uplifter Chats?
Well, I think it's just a branch off of what the album kind of is. And it's just trying to bring some uplifting, positive, you know, vibes to the world in a time where, you know, it's where it just seems like everything is doom and gloom and kind of sad. And, you know, if you really are on that all the time, it's a lot, you know, it's a lot for some people. And just want to try to find balance, and the Uplifter is a bit of a balance. And we just came up with it thinking, you know, how can we reach out to our fan base. We're not going to see them this whole summer. You know, it's obviously at that point we kind of knew it was looking like we weren't going to be able to tour.
Right.
So, you know, responsibly. And it's just, so we're, and we're in California. So we're in the last, you know, we're, it's pretty strict here. So we were thinking like, all right, so how do we reach them? You know, how do we bring, how do we try to bring that energy, even though we're not able to do, you know, music per se. And it's right now we even are quarantined from each other. So that just made sense. Again, we'd started with a video kind of component to it where we were doing Zoom meetings like this and just kind of recording them live and doing them live and streaming them. And it just kind of got whittled down to a simpler form, obviously podcast. And it's just us having a chat. We're kind of chatting about different aspects of the album. This one recently we've been doing kind of a kind of song explodery type thing where we break down the songs and go in depth on all the pieces of the songs, the process of individual tracks. And then, yeah. And then we have kind of a larger scale conversation after that. But I just, for us, it's just another way to reach our fans and to, you know, bring some more of that energy that we usually can bring with the live touring that we, you know, haven't been able to this summer. So.
Your fans and fans of the, this genre as a whole, this rock and rock reggae, neo reggae, however people categorize it. I'm not down with putting people into little boxes, but your fans have been so great and so supportive. I would imagine that giving back to them is something that's really important to you. And this is probably an opportunity to do that, right?
Definitely. I think our fans are incredible. You know, they are still, they're buying more merch now than, you know, we've had. And, you know, we're reaching like an entire halfway through this year, we're already selling more than we did in like almost all of 2018. So it's,
wow.
It's been crazy. They're super supportive in all the endeavors that we're kind of trying to figure out. One aspect of that's made this better is that it's forced us to be creative in the way that we reach our fans, forced us to find different avenues in through the band to reach out, do things, you know, to find creativity outside of just playing music. And, you know, sometimes we take live touring for granted. It's just, it goes in line with the rest of the meaning of the rest of the songs. And, you know, we take touring for granted. We go out every year multiple times, play hundreds of dates, and we're like, we got to tour again. We got to do this again. And now we're all just like, oh, man, I wish we could go on tour. Like,
right.
I miss it. You know, I miss playing the energy. And so, you know, I know that when we do get to go back on tour again, it will just be, we'll all be refreshed on it and really happy to bring to have that connection again. I think the rest of the world will too.
Yeah, I think once people start touring again, I mean, I anticipate sold out shows. I think I was reading somewhere that some of the promoters actually are anticipating sold out shows and are just going to hopefully not, but probably ding people pretty good because people are going to be so psyched to go catch shows. Album cover, it's a coastline. Is it Hawaii coastline or is it SoCal coastline?
It's actually Northern California. It's it's Big Sur is where the coastline is. Yeah. The album art, we had a guy named, this is at Made by Motel. And he's a guy that's in Toronto, I believe in Canada.
Oh, wow. Well, that's where I am. I should hook him up.
Yeah, it's Made by Motel. And we found him just randomly because he was doing these vintage redesigns of famous album covers. The same guy that Xavier, the same guy that kind of came up with the idea for Right Here, Right Now, found him and was like, these are really cool. He's doing these hip-hop album art that we really thought was, and he was redoing them. And we're like, that's really rad. Like, he's creative. Hit him up and said, you know, would you be interested in, you know, coming up with the album concept for us? And he was like, yeah, let's do it. So
that's great. I'm glad I asked about it.
Cool
Toronto connection. Dude, the record's really great. You've always been about the band's always been about positive energy and sharing positive energy with everybody, and the world needs more of it right now. We can't thank you enough for taking the time to talk us through some of the things on the record and just your thought process and your mindset overall. And here's hoping that you can get out on the road and share some of these songs soon. And thanks for spending the time with us, man. We really appreciate it.
Thank you, Ira. I appreciate it, man. That was fun.
There you have it. A really great chat with Michael Puchel of Iration. You definitely should check out the video for Right Here, Right Now on YouTube and the entire record when it's out in just a few weeks. For more on Iration, visit irationmusic.com. Before we leave you, here's the latest single off of Coastin, Move Forward.
Nobody said that it would be easy. No one said that life would be fair. Took a long time to find my own way. Weathered the storm and I'm not going anywhere. I wanna see the colors of the morning sky. Ocean breezes got me feeling so high. I can hear the rain falling down on my roof. Look in the mirror and I know what to do. Move forward, back on your feet again. Let's take a walk outside. Move forward, feel the sun on your skin, my friend. Let's leave the gray clouds behind. Miles out there before me. The fog is lifting, my head is clear. For so long I couldn't see the beauty around me. My eyes are open and now I know there's nothing to fear. I wanna see the colors of the morning sky. Ocean breezes got me feeling so high. I can hear the rain falling down on my roof. Look in the mirror and I know what to do. Move forward, back on your feet again. Let's take a walk outside. Move forward, feel the sun on your skin, my friend. Let's leave the gray clouds behind. Take a walk outside. Move forward. Let's leave the gray clouds behind. I wanna see the colors of the morning sky. Ocean breezes got me feeling so high. I can hear the rain falling down on my roof. Look in the mirror and I know what to do. Move forward, back on your feet again. Let's take a walk outside. Move forward, feel the sun on your skin, my friend. Let's leave the gray clouds behind. Take a walk outside. Move forward. Let's leave the gray clouds behind. Move forward. Move forward.
You've been listening to the Sound Podcast. Technical production by Adam Karsh and Andrea Ruse. Inspired by the music we love. For more, visit thesoundpodcast.com.